Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Some Boys by Patty Blount, narrated by M. Eldridge and Joe Hempel. Chapter 1. Grace. No Monday in history has ever sucked more than this one. I'm kind of an expert on sucky days. It's been 32 of them since the party in the woods that started the battle I fight every day. I step onto the bus to school, wearing my armor and pretending nothing's wrong, nothing happened, nothing changed, when it's pretty obvious nothing will ever be the same again. Alyssa Martin, a girl I've known since first grade, smirks and stretches her leg across the empty seat next to hers. I approach slowly, hoping nobody can see my knees knocking. A couple of weeks ago, during a school newspaper staff meeting, Alyssa vowed her support, and today I'm pawn scum.
"Find a seat, Mrs. Gannon," the bus driver shouts.
I meet Alyssa's eyes, silently beg her for sympathy, even a little pity. She raises a middle finger. It's a show of loyalty to someone who doesn't deserve it, a challenge to see how far I'll go. My dad keeps telling me to stand up to all of Zach's defenders, but it's the entire bus, the entire school, versus me. I gulp hard, and the bus lurches forward. I try to grab a seat back, but lose my balance and topple into the seat Alyssa's blocking with her leg. She lets out a screech of pain.
"Bitch," she sneers.
"You nearly broke my leg." I'm about to apologize when I notice the people sitting around us stare with wide eyes and hands over their open mouths. When my eyes meet theirs, they turn away, but nobody does anything. This is weird. Alyssa folds herself against the window and shoves earbuds into her ears and ignores me for the duration of the ride. The rest of the trip passes without incident, except for two girls whispering over a video playing on a phone they both clutch in their hands. One of them murmurs, "618 hits," and shoots me a dirty look. I know exactly what she means and don't want to think about it. I look away. As soon as the bus stops, I'm off. On my way to my locker, most people just ignore me, although a few still think they've come up with a clever new insult. An elbow or the occasional extended foot still needs dodging, but it's really not that bad. I can deal. I can do this. I can make it through school unless I see...
woof, woof!
My feet root themselves to the floor, and the breath clogs in my lungs, and I know without turning who barked at me. I force myself to keep walking instead of running for home, running for the next town. I want to turn to look at him, look him dead in the eye, and twist my face into something that shows contempt instead of the terror that too often wins whenever I hear his name. So he sees. So he knows. He didn't beat me. But that doesn't happen. A foot appears from nowhere, and I can't dodge it in time. I fall to my hands and knees, and two more familiar faces step out of the crowd to laugh down at me.
"Here you like it on your knees,"
Kyle Moran shouts, and everybody laughs. At least Matt Roberts helps me up, but when Kyle smacks his head, he takes off before I can thank him. They're two of his best buds. Nausea boils inside me, and I scramble back to my feet. I grab my backpack, pray that the school's expensive digital camera tucked inside it isn't damaged, and duck into the girls' bathroom, locking myself into a stall. When my hands are steady, eyes are dry, stomachs no longer threatening to send back breakfast, I open the stall. Miranda and Lindsay, my two best friends, stand in front of the mirrors. Make that former best friends. We stare at one another through the mirrors. Lindsay leans against a sink but doesn't say anything. Miranda runs a hand down her smooth blonde hair, pretends I'm not there, and talks to Lindsay. "So I've decided to have a party and invite Zach and the rest of the lacrosse team. It's going to be epic." No, not him. The blood freezes in my veins. "Miranda, don't, please." Miranda's hand freezes on her hair.
"Don't, please?"
She shakes her head in disgust. "You know, he could get kicked off the lacrosse team because of you."
"Good!"
I scream, suddenly furious. Miranda whips back around to face me, hair blurring like a fan blade.
At the sink, Lindsay's jaw drops. God, I can't believe you. Did you do all of this, say all of this just to get back at me? My jaw drops. What? Of course not. You know I like him. If you didn't want me to go out with him, all you had to do was say so. Miranda, this isn't about you. Trust me, Zach is... Oh my God, listen to yourself. He breaks up with you, and you fall apart, and then... That is not what happened. I broke up with him. I was upset that night because of Christy, and you know it. She spins around, arms flung high. Christy? Seriously? You played him. You wanted everybody to feel sorry for you, so you turned on the tears and got Zach to... Me? Are you insane? He... Oh, don't even. Miranda holds up a hand. I know exactly what happened. I was there. I know what you said. I figured you were lying. And now there's no doubt. Lindsay nods and tosses her bag over her shoulder, and they stalk to the door. At the door, Miranda fires off one more shot. You're a lying slut, and I'll make sure the whole school knows it. The door slams behind them, echoing off the lavatory stalls. I'm standing in the center of the room, wondering what's holding me up, because I can't feel my feet or my hands. I raise them to make sure I still have hands, and before my eyes, they shake. But I don't feel that either. All I feel is pressure in my chest, like someone just plunged my head underwater and I tried to breathe. My mouth goes dry, but I can't swallow. The pressure builds and grows and knocks down walls and won't let up. I press my hands to my chest and rub, but it doesn't help. Oh God, it doesn't help. My heart lurches into overdrive like it's trying to stage a prison break. I fall to the cold bathroom floor, gasping, choking for breath, but I can't get any. I can't find any. There's no air left to breathe. I'm the lit match in front of a pair of lips puckered up, ready to blow. Minutes pass, but they feel like centuries. I fumble for my phone, my mom's phone, since she made me switch with her, and call her. Grace, what's wrong? Can't breathe, Mom. It hurts. I pushed out the words on gasps of air. Okay, honey, I want you to take a breath and hold it. 1, 2, 3, and let it out. I follow her instructions, surprised I have any breath in my lungs to hold for 3 seconds. The next breath is easier. Keep going. Deep breath, hold it, let it out. It takes me a few tries, but finally I can breathe without the barrier. Oh, God. Better? Yeah, it doesn't hurt now. Want me to take you home? Oh, home. Where there were no laughing classmates pointing at me, whispering behind their hands. Where there are no ex-friends calling me a bitch or a liar. Where I could curl up, throw a blanket over my head, and pretend nothing happened. Yes, take me home. Take me home right now, as fast as you can. I want to say that. But when I glance in the mirror over the row of sinks, something makes me say, no. I have to stay. Grace! Mom, I have to stay. There's a loud sigh. Oh, honey, you don't have to be brave. Brave. The word hangs in the air for a moment and then falls away, almost like even it knows it has no business being used to describe me. I'm not brave. I'm scared. I'm so freaking scared I can't see straight, and I can't see straight because I'm too scared to look very far. I'm a train wreck. All I'm doing is trying to hold on to what I have left. Only I'm not sure what that is. When I say nothing, she laughs too loudly. Well, you're wearing your father's favorite outfit, so just pretend it's a superhero costume. That makes me laugh. I glance down at my favorite boots, black leather covered in metal studs, my ass-kicking boots. Ever since Dad married Christy, Mom lets me get away with anything that pisses him off. And wow, does he hate how I dress. Grace, if you feel the pressure in your chest again, take a deep breath, hold it, and count. Concentrating on counting helps keep your mind from spiraling into panic. Yeah, okay. But I'm not at all convinced. I missed most of first period. Skip it. Don't worry about getting in trouble. Where are you now? Bathroom? Why don't you go to the library? Relax and regroup, you know? Regroup. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. If you need me to get you, I'll come, okay? I meet my own gaze in the mirror, disgusted to see them fill with tears. Jeez, you'd think I'd be empty by now. Thanks, Mom. I end the call, tuck the phone in my pocket, and head for the library. The library is my favorite spot in the whole school. 2 floors of books, rows of computers, soft chairs to slouch in. I head for the nonfiction section and find the 770s. This is where the photography books live, my stack. I run a finger along the spines and find the first book I ever opened on the subject, A History of Photography. I pull the book off its shelf, curl up with it in a chair near a window, and flip open the back cover. My signature is scrawled on the checkout card so many times now that we're old friends. I know how this book smells, a little like cut grass, how it feels. The pages are thick and glossy. And even where every one of its scars lives, the coffee ring on page 213, and the dog-eared corner in chapter 11. This is the book that said, Grace, you are a photographer. I flip through the pages, reread the section on high-key technique. I love how that sounds. High-key. So professional. It's really just big fields of bright white, filled with a splash of color or sometimes only shadow. I took hundreds of pictures this way. Of Miranda, of Lindsay, of me. I practiced adjusting aperture settings and shutter speeds and overexposing backgrounds. It's cool how even the simplest subjects look calm and cheerful. It's like the extra light forces us to see the beauty and the flaws we never noticed. I unzip my backpack and take out the school's digital camera. It's assigned to me, official student newspaper photographer. I scroll through the images stored on the card, selfies I shot over the last few weeks. Why can't everybody see what I see? My eyes don't sparkle. My lips don't curve anymore. Why don't they see? I shove the camera back in my bag. With a sigh, I close the book, and a slip of paper floats to the floor. I pick it up, unfold it, and my stomach twists when I read the words printed on it. A noise startles me, and I look up to see Tyler Embry standing at one of the computers. Did he slip this paper into my favorite book? He's had a painfully obvious crush on me forever. Every time he gets within 5 feet of me, his face flushes and sweat beads at his hairline. Tyler volunteers at the library during his free periods and always flags me over to give me the latest issue of Shutterbug that he sets aside for me as soon as it arrives. He grabs something off the desk and walks over to me. I smile, thankful there's still one person left in this world that doesn't think Zach McMahon is the second coming of Christ. But Tyler's not holding a magazine. He's holding his phone.
683.
There's no blush, no sweat, only disgust. I jerk like he just punched me. I guess in a way he has. He turns, heads to the magazine rack, and places this month's issue, in its clear plastic cover, face out, in a subtle fuck you only I'd notice. I stuff the paper into my backpack and hurry to the exit just as the bell rings. I make it to the end of the day. At dismissal, I make damn sure I'm early for the bus ride home so I can snag an empty row. I plug in my earbuds to drown out the taunts. It's not so bad, I tell myself repeatedly, the taste of tears at the back of my throat familiar now. I don't believe me. Once safely back in my house, I let my shoulders sag and take my first easy breath of the day. The house is empty and eerie, and I wonder how to fill the hours until Mom gets home. 32 days ago, I'd have been hanging out after school with Miranda and Lindsay, or shopping at the mall, or trying to find the perfect action photo at one of the games. In my room, I stare at the mirror over my dresser, where dozens of photos are taped. Photos of me with my friends, me with my dad, me at dance class. I'm not welcome at any of these places by any of these people anymore. I don't have a damn thing because Zach McMahon took it all. I think about Mom killing all of my online accounts and switching phones just until things settle. But now that the video of me that Zach posted on Facebook has 683 likes, it's pretty clear that waiting for things to settle is a fantasy. I rip all the pictures off the mirror, tear them into tiny pieces, and swipe them into the trash bin next to my desk. Then I pull out the slip of paper I found in the photography book, and after a few minutes of staring at it, I dial the number with shaking hands. Rape Crisis Hotline, this is Diane. Let me help you.
Chapter 2. Ian. Thank God it's Monday. The entire weekend sucked, starting Friday night when I got grounded for denting my dad's car, and then it just circled the toilet from there. All the crap with Grace Collier is really messing Zach up, so I took him to a party in Holtzville to get away from the rumors for a while. I only had a couple beers, and on the way home I swerved to avoid hitting some dude who just came out of nowhere, and I plowed into a mailbox. I told my dad somebody hit the Camry while it was parked, and that I had no idea how it happened. It didn't matter. I got tossed into solitary confinement, except for the hours of lectures on responsibility, and how my sisters never did anything like this when they were my age. Pretty sure Dad's got about 365 separate lectures by now. He could publish the damn things in one of those flip calendars they sell at kiosks in the mall. 365 days of motivating your teen to get up off his ass. A roar of laughter from down the hall interrupts my thinking time. I follow the noise, spot Grace Collier on her hands and knees while Kyle and pretty much everyone else laugh like hyenas. I freeze where I stand. Grace is just about the hottest girl I've ever seen. Amazing body she likes to show off in tight black leather and metal studs. Wild dark hair that goes all the way to her ass. And these intense silvery gray eyes she loves to paint like Cleopatra that practically see right through a guy. It took me 2 months. 2 solid months to work up the guts to ask her out. And just when I had it all planned out, Zach beat me to it. Now, after everything that went down, I'm almost glad I never got my shot. Almost. Matt helps her up, but when Kyle swats the back of his head, they take off. Before she disappears into the girl's bathroom, I get a glimpse of her face and see more than just those bright eyes. I see pain. I wait for a minute and then head to my first class. World history. Yay. I slide into my seat at the back of the room. Zach's already there, surrounded by his fans. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. He clasps hands with Tommy Rao, a kid on the basketball team. Tommy jerks his chin in acknowledgement, takes a seat over near the window. Hey, Ian, Zach nods at me. Your dad's still pissed? I roll my eyes. You have no idea. I'm grounded. Again. Sucks. Zach tenses when Miranda Hollis and Lindsay Warren, Grace's best friends, rush over to him. Oh my God. We just want you to know that we don't believe her. You're such a great guy, Zach. Miranda puts a hand on Zach's arm. Zach shrugs and smiles. Thanks. It helps to hear that. Miranda smiles, lowers her eyes, and twirls her hair in that universal signal that says, I am totally into you. I swallow a grin. Damn, he's good. The girls take their seats, and I ask, Zach, what's going on? His smile widens. You didn't see Facebook? No. Grounded, remember? No phone, no computer, no TV. It was just me and homework. Right. He pulls out his iPhone and hands me his earbuds. Here, take a look. Then he laughs. 672. Sweet. I click the video he's got on screen and almost drop the phone. It's Grace. Holy hell. It's Grace Collier, and she's... Jesus. I rip the buds from my ears and hand him back the phone. Wow. He laughs. I know, right? She doesn't know who she's messing with. The bell rings and the class quiets down, but I can't concentrate on imperialism after seeing that video. I've talked to Grace maybe 3 times total, but she never struck me as a girl who'd twist the truth to get back at somebody. By the time the bell rings at the end of class, I'm seriously happy I never got around to asking her out. Ian, you're free now, right? Zach asks. I need to stop at my locker first, and then I'll meet you in the library and we can review the math stuff. Oh, God, thanks, man. Zach has the highest grades in the class, and Coach Brill won't keep me on the lacrosse team if I don't ace the next math test. If I get booted off the team, my dad will deliver yet another lecture on how I'm failing my own future by not living up to my potential. I can already hear it. Your sister's managed to earn scholarships while working part-time jobs and playing basketball, he'll say and fling up his hands. Claudia got a degree in architecture, and Valerie's studying to be a pharmacist. But I'll probably be living in a double-wide collecting welfare. I blend in with the stream of foot traffic changing classes and head for the stairwell. Dad thinks, actually believes, that I like not knowing what I want to be. But I've got a couple of ideas I've been thinking over. It might be cool to build stuff, maybe engineering. It started with Lego blocks, and then I moved on to building models and rebuilding stuff around the house. I just took apart the blender and rebuilt the motor. Not that he cares about that. Probably never even noticed. Could also be fun to teach. I wouldn't mind coming back to school as a teacher instead of a student. I'd be cool. All the kids would love me. I'd listen. Really listen to them instead of talk at them. I shake my head and snag a table in the library. There's no point in even telling my dad any of this. He'd just shake his head and warn me I'd need better math grades. I may not be perfect like my sisters, but I'm not the loser my dad thinks I am either. I don't get high. I don't steal money from their wallets. Okay, so I dinged the car, big deal. It's not like I killed anybody. My chest tightens when I remember the guy walking his dog that I almost hit Friday night. Zach slides into a chair and throws his backpack on the table. Jesus, he scrubs both hands over his blonde hair. Heard the collie missed the entire first period. That girl's got issues, man. Glad she's not my problem anymore. Grace Collier's the furthest thing from a dog there is, but I get why he calls her that. As he finishes the sentence, I look up, and there she is, standing in the nonfiction section, looking seriously wrecked. Zach doesn't see her. He's busy opening his pack and pulling out books. But I do, and I don't know what to say, what to do. They hooked up last month after the game against Holtzville High School, and now Zach's done with her. It happens. But Grace doesn't look pissed. She looks devastated. I open my notebook and grab a pen and just pretend I don't see her. Thanks for the assist, man. If I get kicked off the team. Won't let it happen, bro. We need you. He punches my shoulder. Hey, after we win the game today, what do you say to a little cruising? I snort out a laugh. Cruising is Zach's slang for get laid. Sure, if I get a free pass tonight. When we win today's game, your dad will have to let you celebrate with the team, right? I lean back and smile. Hope so. Thanks again, really. No problem. He grins and flips my math textbook to the problem that keeps tripping me up. I glance back at the nonfiction shelves, but Grace is gone now. Zach and I get to work, and I can't help thinking he's wrong. The problems are just beginning. We opened the scoring at barely 2 minutes into the game against the Shoreham Sharks. But at 4:53, the Sharks fire a shot into the cage, and Zach practically breathes fire. Now the score's tied at 1-1, and we aren't going to just sit back and take it. Coach Brill sends me in just as we force a turnover. I join the battle, but the Sharks' goalie has the net sealed tight. When the goalie slings a breakout pass to a midfielder on a fast break, I run all out. This is my skill, my talent. I'm a blur on the field. Zach's watching, sizing up our opponents. I'm so fixed on my target, I don't see one of the Sharks' attack men. By the time I do, I can't stop. Can't adjust. And bam! Circle of stars. Dimly, I hear a whistle blow. Hear muffled shouts and curses and another whistle. But it's all jumbled like one long bleat. It takes me a long while to figure out I'm sprawled on the turf. And then I notice the hands pressing and probing me. Ian! Ian, talk to me, son! I open my mouth, but my tongue just sits there limp. Give him a minute, coach. I blink a few times, but that does nothing to make the circle of stars disappear. Hands tap my face. I'm okay, I try to say, but it comes out, meh. I figure out which strings control my limbs and manage to roll to my hands and knees, sucking up oxygen and finally clearing my vision. Come on, Ian! Get up! Kyle Moran shouts. Slowly I figure out how my legs work, get them back under me. The coach and the EMT each grab an elbow and walk me off the field to glad you're not dead applause from both teams. I'm forced to sit out the rest of the game. We win 6-1, and the Panthers celebrate with pizza, which I miss because I'm sitting in the emergency room. Couple hours later, I'm still in the emergency room with my parents, waiting for the doctor to come back with my films. I've been poked and stuck, x-rayed and even MRI'd. I feel fine except for the worst headache of my entire life. Dad's checking his watch. Mom keeps checking me. Suddenly, Dad jumps to his feet. How is he, doctor? Good news is there's no skull fracture. Could have fooled me. Bad news is there is a concussion. You're benched for a while, son. What? No way. Before I can protest, he turns to my parents and continues. Keep him home from school tomorrow. Nothing more exerting than TV on the couch. Dad rolls his eyes. Oh, that won't be a problem for him. Dad, jeez. Am I really going to have to sit through a flip calendar lecture at the hospital? I feel fine. I can go to school. The doctor shakes his bald head, flips open one of those metal chart thingies, and scrawls something on my paperwork. Sorry, Ian. Concussions are tricky, and this is a serious one. It is? Dad frowns. Ian, you were hit from the side, spun around in midair and landed hard. You were out cold for at least a minute. I don't remember any of this. You may feel fine now, but tomorrow or the next day, something may worsen it, like another hit to the head. I want to give this some time, see how you feel in a few days. There's another game on Saturday. Will I make that one? Let's see how you're doing on Friday, and if everything looks good, I'll clear you. I blow out a relieved sigh. If you feel dizzy, sick, or have any headaches, trouble concentrating, I need to know about it. He tears a slip of paper off a pad and hands it to my dad. Dad nods, pockets the paper. We drive home in silence, the glare of headlights doing strange and uncomfortable things to my concussed head. I know I'm going to spend the night getting awakened to answer stupid questions like, what's my name? Who's the president and what year is it? Tomorrow you'll stay home and in bed. No video games. I don't want you straining your eyes. You can call Zach or Kyle to get notes and homework after school. I don't answer. I don't feel up to getting into another argument. Can you work from home tomorrow? Mom asks Dad, and I cringe. Please, no. Yeah, I may have to run out for a couple of client meetings, but most of the day I can keep an eye on him. Looks like I'm back in parental prison.
Chapter 3. Grace. Tuesday morning, day 33. Mom drops me off so I don't have to deal with the bus crowd calling me names. I arrive at school, and the second I step into the building, it starts. Insults, shoves and elbows, whispers and giggles, comments loud enough to hear. Slut, liar, bitch. I have no classes with Zach McMahon, about the only thing I can think of that's good. But I have to endure one with Miranda. She's chatting with two girls near the window when I take my seat. Can't believe she tattled to her mommy. Her audience laughs and looks at me. She called my mother, and now I'm the one in trouble, even though she's the one who started the lie in the first place. I sigh heavily. Miranda, I'm sorry you think I stole Zach from you. Believe me, I don't want him. But I am not lying. She glances at me like I'm a pile of poo she just stepped in. Then why did you tattle to your mommy that I made you cry? What are you talking about? Oh my God, seriously? She rolls her eyes and takes out her phone. This text? The one your mother sent to my mother? And now I'm in trouble? I glance at her screen and see what she means. She sent me a text which my mom intercepted. With another sigh, I dig out my mother's phone. This is my mother's phone. She has mine. So if you texted my phone, she got the message. Miranda's eyes go round, and her jaw drops. There's a tiny part of me that cheers. Guess it's your own fault you got in trouble.
Grace, if you're through riling up my class, I'd like to begin.
I glare at Mr. Brown while Miranda shoots me a look of pure malice. and the day just keeps getting worse.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?